Well, it is a real joy to be here. I've driven by this church so many times, I've lost count. This is the first time I've ever been in here. But what a beautiful place. And I walked in and was warmly greeted by a number of people. I can tell this is a church I would love to attend. And thank you, Lenny, for your friendship and for this invitation. And Pastor Troy, you are a brave man to give a retired pastor a microphone. Now, the one he gave me, somehow that thing did not fit my ear at all. Of course, when you get a nose this size, you get ears to match. So that little thing just wasn't going to work. So we're going to go old school here with a handheld mic. Happy Father's Day. All of you guys, you are making a difference. And I'm going to tell you where I'm going to go with this sermon. At the close, I'm going to ask all of you fathers that will to join a team of nudge responders. Lenny, would you please get up and model what we're talking about? Have you ever seen such a beautiful model? Lenny is a nudge responder because I gave him this. I said, I'll come, but here's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about what it means to be a nudge responder. So dads, just be ready. I want you to come. And then after the dads have received one, I want anybody here, man, woman, child, that would like to join the team. We've got little ones. We've got bigger ones. We want this for everybody. But we're going to start with dads. This opportunity today is something more than just delivering what could be kind of a traditional Father's Day sermon. I'm not sure, I've lost track as to how many of those I did, but quite a few. But this is the Nudge Responders sermon about ownership. I want to talk specifically to men today, but I want this to be an inclusive message that would include everyone here. The ownership nudge. I've been interested in nudge issues for some time, but most specifically since 2013. It was in 2013 that I first read the book written by Leonard Sweet, simply called Nudge. A nudge is something that you feel impressed that you should do. Now, nudges come in all forms. You, like me, men, may get nudged from time to time by your wife. And we know those nudges, and they're important nudges. And all the ladies said, now we got the ladies with us. A nudge, in a spiritual sense, is coming from God the Father. God, the ultimate Father, knows how to nudge his children. And he does on a regular basis. Now, we have different ways that we deal with those nudges. We can act like we're not home, or like we don't understand, or like we need more time to try to figure something out about what we think he is talking to us about doing. Years ago, there was a discipleship program out of Denver First Church of the Nazarene. It was a big, thick, green book. It was called Dynamics of Discipleship. That book had the most interesting phrase in it. I had never heard it before, but it was called lag time. Lag time is simply the time it takes from when I get that nudge initially to when I actually act on what I was nudged to do. Lag time. One of the marks of spiritual maturity is to see that there is a decreasing amount of time between the time that God gives the nudge and we respond. That's known as walking in the Spirit, walking in the light. I like to think of it in terms of being a nudge responder. So just, I don't know, right after the first of the year, our pastor in McCall stood up one Sunday. He came down beside the communion table, and he was kind of teary. Mike Curry. And Kay nudged me. She said, he's going to resign. I said, no. Men, have you noticed women's intuition? Don't count it out. He stood there and resigned. He went to follow Chuck Ryan at the Homedale Church of the Nazarene. We felt terrible. We love Pastor Mike. Now, we're church hoppers, but we only hop between two. We have a home in Eagle where we go to the Tree City Church with Pastor Johnny Hampton, and then we have a place in McCall where we love to go to the McCall Church of the Nazarene. Can you believe it? They invited me to be their interim pastor. Those dear people endured my preaching for 13 weeks since the 1st of January. They should get some kind of Church of the Year award just for their endurance. And immediately, I knew what the series of sermons was going to be. It wasn't going to be just cherry-picking some things that I like to preach. I was going to call the church in transition not to sit idly waiting to see who the new pastor would be, but rather I was going to have the opportunity to go Old and New Testament alike and see stories of Old and New Testament characters that became nudge responders. And I challenged them for the 11 weeks of that transition. I had spoken 2 weeks while the pastor was in Guatemala. Let me give you a hint, Baker City Church. Don't send your pastor to Guatemala for 2 weeks, even if it's working with him. He may come back and resign. Nudge responders, Old and New Testament alike. Men, women, people that chose to mind God. And I had the privilege of helping that church be ready for their new pastor who started last week, Pastor Grady Harmon, first senior pastorate. And I believe that there's a little congregation there that rather than having their arms folded saying, well, pastor, show us what you've got, I believe they are ready to move with the moving of the Spirit of God because they are intent on being nudge responders. I'm thankful that today we can talk about ownership scripturally from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. There's a couple verses, 14 and 22, that I want to lift out today. The entire passage is 12 through 23, so if you just keep your Bibles open, and if I get boring, just look down and read scripture. You'll get something out of the service. But verse 14 and 22 says this, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefits you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. I want to talk to you today for just a few moments on this Father's Day about the ownership nudge. There's a great difference between telling people that they should stop their sinning and helping them realize that their whole life orientation can be changed. There's a big difference between sin management and glorious freedom. I'm thankful to be a part of the Church of the Nazarene. I'm thankful that we are one of many great churches, but one of the uniquenesses of the holiness tradition, certainly within the dynamic of the Church of the Nazarene from the very beginning of our history, we have not believed that you just have to live a life that keeps on sinning and sinning and sinning. We believe in something called holiness, and it is glorious freedom. It doesn't mean we're totally perfect. It doesn't mean that we are never tempted. It doesn't mean even that we never sin. It teaches very clearly, and I believe the scripture that we've just read today reinforces, we don't have to be subject to sin anymore. Praise God for his freedom. And there can be a change of ownership in our lives that makes a difference in the way we face the temptations that are bound to come to each and every one of us. Christianity is a life that is radically different. It's based on different values. It is a life powered by the inward presence of the Holy Spirit. And it is a life of victory in Jesus Christ. Are you glad to have victory in Christ today? What a privilege. It's fathomless. The one who spoke light years of space into order and creation is the one who comes to live within your heart and mine. Do you think he is up to the challenge of the obstacles and the challenges that we face? I believe he is. Do you believe he is faithful and we can trust him? I believe he is. Romans 6 is all about entering a new dynamic of living. There's a huge difference between new management and new ownership. Far too often, I think, as we get into this relationship with Christ, we recognize that there is joy in Jesus, and there's a wonderful, wonderful freedom that we can have knowing that our past sins have been forgiven. We are saved. We have eternal life. And we can kind of go on living for a while in which we find ourselves managing sin as best we can. And sometimes we're victorious and sometimes we're not. Sometimes we overcome it and sometimes it overcomes us. That's living life with kind of a new management style. We're taking Jesus into consideration. But there are certain areas of our lives that we are asking that he would leave to us. We kind of want to be on our own in that particular room of our life or that small area in our life. That's not new ownership. That's management. And that is where so much of Christianity becomes lukewarm. We're trying to manage in a way that is respectable and manage in a way that we can feel good enough about ourselves that we can come to services like this and not feel out of place. And yet in the privacy of our own lives, we know good and well there are areas that we have not yet surrendered. There is part of us that keeps coming up, boiling up to the surface, time and time and time again. Could that be one of the reasons that we find many churches that our Christian churches are not growing? Nothing is really happening because way too many of the folks that are faithfully coming to church are in the process of sin management. I'm talking about new ownership today. I'm talking about a change that can come. It doesn't make us perfect. It doesn't mean we won't be tempted. It doesn't mean that we can't commit sin again and again. But it does mean we have a new owner. I remember the day, it was a little white wood frame church on the corner of 3rd and Elm Street, Ainsworth, Nebraska. And we had a guest speaker that morning. His name was Dr. Kurt Smith. He was from Bethany Nazarene College. My dad liked him. Just a little guy, big voice. And he was there that morning representing the college. And he preached a sermon about what it meant to have a change of ownership. He didn't use that terminology, but that's what he was getting at. Life under new ownership. You remember the term entire sanctification? That was the sermon. My dad came to the altar that day. He was right over here. And Ainsworth, for those of you who don't know where Ainsworth, Nebraska is, you have to be lost to find it. It's cattle country. Up in the sand hills, it's a good place, good people. And those farmers and those ranchers, the guys with hands that are about that thick and fingers about like that, when they get a wedding ring, somebody just cuts off the end of a pipe. Those are the guys I grew up around. Loved it. My dad was surrounded by those good men. I was a little guy, probably 7, 8 years old. I don't know. I was so proud of my dad. And I went up as a little kid and I just kneeled on the second level. Here's the men and here's the little boy. I can't tell you how proud I was of my dad. When he prayed through, you know what he did? He just went like this and he just began to laugh. He was so happy to have changed owners. Jesus was Lord. And I watched as his life began to change. Oh, he was a good man. He drove the old home bread truck, Metz Baking Company, out of Sioux City, Iowa. And he was way out on the west end of the territory. And his route was 49 miles from Ainsworth to Valentine, 6 days a week. Then part of the days, he would go on back roads to Norden and Springview and out-of-the-way places like that. He took his job seriously. My dad knew how to work. He was the old homebred man, and his uniforms were clean and pressed, and his shoes were shiny. And I've seen my mother literally in tears when those Nebraska blizzards would hit. And she would beg him, Ray, Highway 20 is going to be closed. Please, please don't go. No, Trude, the people need bread. I'm going to serve my customers. And he had a motto, Pastor Troy. The United States mail goes through right behind the old home bread truck. I moved to Nampa. You would not believe how much Bill Downs looks like Ray Conrad. It was unbelievable. Lenny, I used to sit in staff meetings and just stare at your father-in-law. I would just, you see, Dad died when he was 66, 1990. The 11th day of October, 10-11 at 10-11 in the morning in Denver, Colorado. I was 40 years old, and I felt cheated. Dad went to be with Jesus way too soon. So I just sit and look at Bill. And one day my mom said to me, Kent, have you noticed how much Bill Downs looks like your dad? I said, yes. And she said, well, I decided to attend his Sunday school class. Sorry, Vonda, nothing weird going on. And she said, you know, there's one side of the room I can sit on, and it looks even more like Ray. So that's where she sat. Dad not only had a commitment because of this new ownership to his store managers, not just to get bread there, but he got concerned about their souls. And I remember him coming home one time and he said, my favorite customer, Mr. Henderson, Henderson Market in Valentine, Nebraska, has got cancer. And he started praying for Mr. Henderson. And I know he got nudges. And I remember one Sunday after church in Ainsworth, Pastor Jim Tapley and his wife Jerry, and my mother and I, and my dad got in our car, and Dad drove us to Valentine on a Sunday afternoon so that Reverend Tapley could pray with Dad's customer, Mr. Henderson. It was a nudge, but it was too late. I remember as they came back to the car and they had not been able to pray with him. He was just too close to death. And I remember the sadness. And I also remember the day that Dad came home from work and he said, Bill Herring, Herring Drive-In out by East City Park in Ainsworth, has got cancer. And I think I need to pray with him. You see, Dad had learned when you get a nudge, act on it. Act on it. So, he and Mr. Herring had a prayer meeting. Dad shared his faith. That's about all I know about that. But I do know Dad knew how to respond to nudges. I was with the junior boys, and Man, we had a wild junior boys Sunday school class. We figured out later years that at least two or three of those guys ended up in prison. Can you imagine being the junior boys Sunday school teacher with that crowd? I remember jumping up in the middle of class one day, and I was spouting something off, and something hit me, and it was my teacher. Boom! I went to Sunday school, and I saw stars. Boy, he'd get big trouble now in churches, rightly so, but he sure had my attention. Good man. Good man. Took us on camping trips. Packed that 1953 Chevy to the gills with our stuff. I didn't have a sleeping bag, so my dad made one. Mom donated old blankets, and dad found a piece of canvas and some twine. And man, I mean, that thing, we got it all rolled up. I think it weighed about as much as I did. We're out at Baker's Grove. Any place that has more than three trees is really news in north central Nebraska. That's something people drive around to see. We were in Baker's Grove, and man, we'd had a wonderful time around the campfire and pork and beans. All the entertainment that came with that with junior boys. Sorry, ladies. Then it began to rain. Fire was just kind of smoky. Man, I got down farther and farther in that homemade sleeping bag, and man, now it's starting to get a little wet in there. Dark. Kent, where are you? Kent. There was Dad. He'd be up at 5 o'clock in the morning or before, but he woke up and heard the rain and felt the nudge, and he was coming after his boy. Spoiled? You bet. Dad said, let's load this stuff up, get you home. Nudge. He didn't roll over. Couldn't leave his boy out there getting wet in a homemade sleeping bag. Why am I telling you all these stories? Thank you. I just needed to remember my dad again. Father's Day. Fast forward, I'm a sophomore in college. It's the fall of 1968. Vietnam's in full swing. I'm on the campus of Bethany Nazarene College. I had left high school, and all my friends said, oh, you're going to go down to that Bible school and become a preacher. I said, no, I'm not. I'm going to study business. I'm going to become a businessman. I'm going to be a man that knows how to treat his pastor like my dad did. You see, I saw one time, board meetings were on Sunday night after church. Didn't have church until 8 o'clock at night because farmers had needed to milk the cows. And then drive 25, 30 miles, get to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night. I don't know what had gone wrong in that board meeting. You ever had board meetings when there's a little, just a little something? Dad and Mom were whispering in the front seat of the car. Man, I was doing my best to eavesdrop. To this day, I still don't know what the issue was. But Dad wasn't a happy camper. And when Dad wasn't happy, you knew it. And he started the car and he backed up and drove around the block and came right back to the same parking place. And Jim Tapley, the pastor of the church, was just coming out the side door. The parsonage was right next door. I can still see my pastor friend, Jim Tapley, who years later would hire me to Spokane First Church to be his youth pastor. Walking down those steps, my dad got out of the car. Have no idea what they said. But I saw Dad stick out his hand. And I saw Jim Tapley stick out his hand. You know, you don't hug men in cattle country in Nebraska. But you sure have firm handshakes. To this day, don't know what the issue was. Just knew Dad got nudged. Something wasn't right. So here I am, fast forward, 1968, fall. I know good and well the Lord's starting to call me to be a minister. Calling me to preach. Couldn't get away from it. Trying to get it settled. I'm out at a place called Lake Overholser. Now, I like to call it Lake Hold Her Closer. And when my dad went to college there with my mom, he liked to call it Lake Hold Her Closer too. So I come by this naturally. Windy day, white caps on the lake. Picked up a rock. This isn't it. About this size. And I'm sitting there. What am I going to do? Am I going to be a pastor? Or am I going to be a layman that makes lots of money and gives lots of money to the church and supports his pastor? And I had tried that argument and it wasn't working. And so then it became a bigger issue. It was ownership. Whose man am I going to be? And I didn't hear a voice that day, but within my mind and my heart, I knew the Lord was saying to me, you can hold on to that, and you can be a Christian and just do your best to manage. Or you're at a point that you can go all in for ownership. I threw that rock as far as I could. The strangest thing happened. I've never heard of such a thing. The rock fell to the bottom of the lake. Have you ever heard of a deal like that? That rock is still at the bottom of that lake. I don't want it back. I want to join this crowd, the nudge responders. I don't want to live a life of Christian sin management. I want new ownership. That's what this scripture is saying. You don't have to be stuck today in management. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean you've turned your back on God. It just means ownership is open to all of us, men, women, children. So I had two examples there that day. A dad that had lived the life and a pastor that had also lived the life. God happened to direct me to the route of being a pastor. Why did I say yes so quickly? Because when I retired Lenny, I said, Lord, if it be okay with you, I would like to learn how to sell real estate. I'd like to help people buy and sell houses. But I will not do anything that any way would lessen the calling that you placed on my life to be a preacher of the gospel. So, if you don't care, I'll just go ahead and go to real estate school and preach every chance I get, wherever it is. So that decision was made long before you called. Why did you go into real estate? Why didn't you just become a calling pastor or go on staff somewhere or volunteer? That's what a lot of guys my age do. God bless them for doing it. I think it's awesome. I wanted to live out in the marketplace what it means to be a nudge responder and go in places that I'd never be able to go if I stayed in the church. Not better, not worse. Just the nudge response for my life. I want to thank you today for the opportunity to share my heart with you. Now, I've got 4 pages of typed notes, but I just kind of needed to get this message out and not let that sermon get in the way. Thank you for listening. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, I don't know just what you're doing here this morning, but I've just got a feeling that your Holy Spirit is so close. I just pray, Lord, that throughout this wonderful sanctuary, men and women would say, yes, yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. May we all, Lord, just offer ourselves as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh God, don't let any of us stop short of this powerful privilege of being all out for Jesus, all in for the kingdom of God. All glory, honor, and praise to Jesus. Right there where you sit today, could this be the day that you just take that rock, whatever that represents in your life, and just give it a heave? Just let it go. Just let it go. Maybe some would like to come forward and make that commitment at this altar of prayer. The altar is open. It's accessible. It's a good place to pray. You can pray right where you are and get everything transacted that you need to transact. But if you felt that nudge to come forward today and before God and these, your church family, say, count me in. I want to be one of these nudge responders, then I would invite you to come. Let's stand together. Lenny, is there a song that you can think of that you'd like us to sing?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Though none go with me,
though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me,
still I will follow.
Amen. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Thank you so much, Lord, for meeting with us today. We are so blessed, Father, that on this Father's Day you showed up. We thank you for being here. Thank you for these good people, for their pastor, Lord. Bless Pastor Troy and his vision for this church and his leadership in this church and all that assist him, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for Lenny, for his friendship, for this invitation. And now, Father, as we bring this service to a conclusion, we leave it all with you. Help us to be faithful in our responses to your nudges. In Jesus' name. Okay, here's the deal. Everybody who's a dad, I've got one of these for you. And don't be bashful, just come. I'm not sure the best way to get them to you. I think just come down here and pick one out. There's small ones, there's big ones. And once all the dads that want one have it, then it's open season. Anybody who would like a free bracelet on Father's Day Sunday, come and get it. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thanks, Gary. Good to see you.